customers. And guess who was most mixed up? The salespeople. What was expenses had suddenly become cheap, and what was cheap had suddenly become expensive. Isn't this the way it is in the world today? Values have changed. We once valued, for example, a family sitting around a table, having a meal together and talking, praying even for Christians. Now all too often we see families eating in front of a TV, not talking, and then just rushing off to do something more important than spending time together. We once valued a family sitting in church together. And I know you do. Not everybody does by any means. Sitting together, singing praises to God together, confessing their faith together. Now too often we see individuals chasing after their personal priorities, which most often don't include God. We once thought, how precious is the blood of Christ? But now more often we think, how precious is gold and silver and other material goods? In the next 4 weeks, I plan to speak to you about, on the basis of the set read, what we call the set, the lectionary, probably always the what we call the gospel and the epistle for the day. Next Sunday, obviously, on Pentecost. General theme is how precious is today the life of Christ. Next week, how precious is the Holy Spirit. Then how precious is the love of God. That'll be Trinity Sunday, as we call it. And then how precious is the Word of God. Jesus often called us to pursue what is precious, just like God does. He spoke of how precious the kingdom of God is, for example, and that people will sell everything to get it. There's lots of stories about that, aren't there? About people giving up stuff to get to receive the kingdom of God. But there's sadly, there's stories that are just the opposite, of people who were offered the kingdom of God and clung on to what they had, clung on to it. They couldn't let go what they had in order to receive something that was far better, far more precious. The biggest mistake that you can make in your life is to mix up the prices, to get confused about what is precious and what is not precious. What could be worse than being focused on what is cheap rather than on what is precious? What could be sadder than being hooked on what lasts for a moment when what lasts for eternity is being offered to you? Some of the most terrible mistakes that people make in their lives are just on that matter. They go for what they can get at the moment. And in the end, they miss out on what they could have had for a long time or for eternity. How precious is the life of Christ? The text tells it in 1 John, we're told, God has given us eternal life. And you read that so well, I might say. God has given us eternal life. This seems to be the big theme of the New Testament, I think. Especially in John's writings. Jesus said in one of the biggest verses of the New Testament. By the way, what do you think is the biggest verse of the New Testament? John 3:16, or we'll get to that. Yep, that we're going to come to that too. Any others? Okay, go and make disciples. Yep, we'll come to that maybe next week. Well, here's one that I think is one of the big. I think all those are, but this is one of the ones that I think is what. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall not die, but shall have eternal life. And whenever I've been able to been privileged to take a funeral, to read that verse in the face of death is just so big, I think. So powerful. When everything seems to have been stripped away, and we can still say, if you have Jesus, you have life, you have eternal life. And why did the Father send the Son into the world? He says it himself. God so loved the world. Now, where did that one come from? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not die but have eternal life. See, they're all about life or eternal life. And why did Jesus come? He says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I'm glad you agree with me, most of you, that these are the big verses, some of the really big verses in the Bible. And you didn't even know it was had to be about life, but you picked verses that deal with life. Sometimes we don't even think about that. We just think, oh, this is one of my favorite verses. But they deal with life. And why did Jesus... I've said that. Too often we think that Jesus is talking about life in heaven. When we die, we'll go to be with God in heaven. We'll be raised to eternal life in heaven. And of course, that's true. But it's not the whole truth. The whole truth is, our text says, God has given us eternal life. Do you know what tenses are? You remember what tense? That's really important, tenses. God has given us, what tense do we call that? Did I hear someone say present tense? Past tense. He has given us eternal life. That means it's already come for us, right? For us who are Christians. Not he will give it to us, although there are verses with that too, of course, but he has given it to us, is what our text says today. Not born again to live in heaven, but born again so that we live from the time we're born again, from the time we're baptized or believe in Jesus, for eternity. It begins now. It begins now. When does life begin? It begins now. This life, we're told in 1 John, is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Very straightforward what John writes here in 1 John 5. We might ask, well, how do I have the Son? The answer is not really that hard, is it? You know it, don't you? I think you do. Maybe some of you are visitors and you don't know, but I think you do. I have the Son by believing in the Son. He who believes in the Son receives the Son. I have the Son by being baptized into Christ. Baptized into Christ. Says it, doesn't it? Into Christ. I have the Son by eating the body and drinking the blood of Christ. The Son comes to me when I go to communion. I have the Son by inviting him into my life when he comes and knocks on the door of my heart. And he says that he will eat with me and I'll eat with him. We'll sit around the table together. Just like Jesus sat around the table with those two followers of his on Easter evening, didn't he? They didn't even know until he broke the bread. Ah! And then he was gone. Of course, he wasn't gone. They just couldn't see him anymore because they knew he was with them. So the life of Christ in me... Oh, and as you might have heard, I don't know what readings you have in church, but a few weeks ago there was a reading that said that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And he said, I am in you and you are in me. So the life of Christ in me is an intimate relationship with Jesus, who is the life. The life. Being a Christian means that we have the life of Jesus. That's why he says born again. Born again means you get life, doesn't it? You get a new life. The life of Christ is a daily relationship with Christ, begun in baptism, continued by in faith, growing in listening to God and speaking to God, lived out in loving and joyful obedience to Jesus, our Saviour. Note well that John says, he who does not have the Son does not have life. So having life is all about Jesus, the Son of God, who gave his life for us and gives his life to us. And not being a Christian is not about being good or bad or anything like that. It's simply about, do I have the Son or don't I have the Son? Too many people don't know whether they have eternal life, whether they will be saved or are saved. What does John say? We're still in 1 John chapter 5. He says, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know you have eternal life. A leader in my first parish told me of how he'd asked people if they were saved. I don't tend to ask people that. I try to think of other ways of saying it, but it can be a bit threatening to be asked that. But he'd ask them if they were saved. And mostly they'd answer, this is probably Lutherans, I don't know. Or, I hope so. I hope so. Have you met people like that? I hope so. Then he would tell them Mark 16, verse 16. You know Mark 16, verse 16? You don't have to tell it to me, but, well, you listen carefully. I think you know it. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. You've heard that? I think you have. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And so he'd read that verse to them, and then he'd ask them again, do you believe? And they say, oh, yes, I believe. And then he'd ask them, have you been baptized? Yeah, I've been baptized. Good. Well, then he'd ask them again, are you saved? And guess what? They'd answer, I don't know. I don't know. I hope so. I wish I was. I wish I could be sure. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, I think that's saying, you're saved if you believe and you're baptized. Isn't that what it's saying? Or do I read the scriptures in a funny way? It seems very clear. And yet often people hear it and they don't somehow let it speak to them. They don't believe it, I guess. Do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure? Yeah, good. John says, I'm writing to you so you know that you have eternal life. And he's writing to the Christians, isn't he? So you might think, why are you talking to us about that? We're Christians. Well, John was writing to Christians. I'm writing, he said, so you may know that you have eternal life. Not, I don't know, or I'm not sure, or not, I hope so. God wants no-so Christians. No-so Christians. I know so that I'm a Christian, that I'm saved. Are you a no-so Christian? We sometimes might feel, doesn't that seem a bit a bit arrogant to say, I know that I'm saved? No, it doesn't. It just means I believe what God says. That's what it means. I believe what God says. I believe what Jesus did for me, that he did this for me. It's not about I'm a good person. It might be about I'm such a bad person, but I'm so glad that Jesus did this for me. And I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm rescued. Are you sure that if you were to die tonight, you would wake up in heaven tomorrow, or approximately tomorrow, however time works after we die, which we don't know for sure, but you get the drift, don't you? We need to be no-so Christians because we live in an evil world, and this is what John's writing about in the Gospel, the John 17 that you read from. That's a prayer, really. It's a prayer that Jesus is praying. And he says, it talks about the evil world, and we need to know where we stand with God in this world and where we will spend eternity. If anybody says, oh, well, I'm not so sure, well, what sort of conviction is that? You see, where's that going to get us in an evil world? In the Gospel for today, Jesus speaks three times of how he protects his followers, or he prays for his Father to protect them from the evil one. The chief way God protects us is by bringing us into a living relationship with him, where we know that God loves us, we know that Jesus gave his life for us, and we know that the Holy Spirit has baptized us into the life of Christ. We know those things. So we have real conviction. I can't afford to live in an evil and non-Christian world not knowing for sure whether I'm a Christian or not. And I suggest to you that any of you think, I don't know, sort it out today. Talk to me or talk to one of the other people here that you trust about it. On this Mother's Day, you mothers need to know for sure that you have eternal life. How many of you are mothers? Okay, that's quite a lot. But all the rest need to know as well, by the way, and all the men need to know too. But I'm just saying a little word to mothers. You need to know that you have eternal life, because if you know that, that will help you heaps in sharing it with others, with your children and your grandchildren and with your godchildren and with your spiritual children, as you so beautifully prayed, I thought, in that prayer. Proverbs says, this is actually in my sermon, so... A good wife, who can find? And I'm using a bit of an old translation. I didn't even look it up. She is more precious than rubies. She is more... I wanted to get the word precious in, you see. She is more precious than rubies. Isn't that good? More precious than rubies. Yes, it's fitting that you should hug your wife at this point. More precious. How precious is a wife or a woman or anybody who knows that God in his love has given them eternal life and then lovingly shares that life with their children or their grandchildren or their husband or their neighbours, the people they drink coffee with, play sport, you know, whatever. How precious is that? Because I think people are desperate for that. They're desperate to know, to have some certainty in their mixed up lives. We need to be no-so Christians, because Jesus says, as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. We'd sometimes like Jesus just to take us out of it and just to sit in church and be nice to each other in church. But Jesus said, nope, out you go. Out you go. It's a tough world that we're sent into, Jesus says in the John 17 reading. It's the world that killed Jesus. And it has, and it is still killing millions of followers of Jesus. Unless we are sure that God loves us and has given us eternal life and will raise us from the dead, we'll probably run away when persecution comes our way or suffering of some kind. Around the world today, millions of Christians are suffering for their faith in Christ. And I hope you read some books about this or get some articles on this, because we cannot live in the fool's paradise of Australia thinking everything is easy-going stuff for Christians when around the world people are being slaughtered in most countries and being criticised and abused in countries like Australia. How do people stay faithful in their suffering and in their death when they face death? They remain faithful by treasuring Jesus and what he's done for them all, above all things. Above all, you see, above all things. I call you to do the same. Jesus and the blood he shed for you on the cross is more precious than gold or silver or anything else. Bonhoeffer once said, "Don't call cheap what cost God the life of his son." Don't call cheap what cost God the life of his son. Don't take Jesus and what he did for you for granted. Don't ever think that grace is cheap. It is so costly. And Jesus did it for you. He was trampled like a rose into the ground for you because he loves you so much. Nothing is more precious than the life Christ has given for you and continues to give to you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep all your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, there are copies of the, you know, roughly what I've said out there that you can pass on to others or whatever. Or if you didn't take any notes, you can read them and then take your notes when you get home. But don't just leave them sit there. Take them to somebody who wasn't here or whatever. So what do we do now? I can take a seat and we'll sing a song, I think.